All right, we're in Philippians chapter number 3. We already finished that up, and he talks about, let me hit the last two verses and then the first two of chapter 4. He said, our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, just our body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, just a body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. So you get a body like Christ, and later on you get a mind like Christ after the judgment seat of Christ. Chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, in light of what we've just said, and whenever time you see a therefore, you need to slow down and see what it is, therefore. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech ye, Odias, and beseech thee, Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. That's two women that are there that are having discord, the thing that got brought up in the Bible study. They can't get along. And of all the things the Apostle Paul could say is, he says, I sure wish these two women who have been serving there in the church could get along. I beseech thee, Euodias, I beseech thee, Syntyche, that you be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Brother Holland, you pray and ask the Lord to help us. Would you please?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. As you're being seated, don't you find it odd, strange, unusual? Come to Philippians chapter number 1. Of all the things that the Apostle Paul could say, he starts addressing these two women that are creating a problem in the church. You think what you're dealing with in the church nowadays is any different than what they dealt with in the church back then? No. You tell you why. Why is because you're involved with human nature. And even though you may have more technology and you might have more things at your fingertips and that kind of a deal, the problems with human nature are always the same. Since the days of Cain and Abel, since the days of Esau and Jacob. Now, Jacob comes down there, he's got aught against his brother, and Esau is supposed to be. You know what you do when you read the Bible? You read about Abraham, Isaac, and who?
Jacob.
You know what it should have been? It should have been Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. Esau sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. He comes in there, and the problem is not on just Esau's part, it's on Jacob's part. Jacob is over there saying, I want something God didn't intend for me to have. And he takes that by hook and crook. He takes advantage of his brother, and his brother's in a weakened state, and his brother's willing to give up everything. That lets you know that being physically weak can mess you up mentally. That's why when you're fasting and stuff, you have to be very careful. Or if you're dieting, you have to be very careful. You say, why? You're not in a good position to make decisions. You're emotionally and sometimes mentally unstable. I never recommend when people are fasting, if they're praying about something, wait till you get some food back in you and some water back in you and get some things, get your feet under you for your mind to clear. Don't be making decisions. You say, what's your illustration? Esau. Been out hunting all day. Esau was supposed to inherit the physical blessing and the spiritual blessing. Understand what he is giving up is what was rightly would belong to the progenitors ahead of him. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He would have inherited that entire blessing. What happened to him? He got hungry. He wanted something physically so bad, he was willing to sacrifice anything spiritual. He wasn't right. Now, he later had remorse. Why? Hebrews tells us he sought repentance carefully with tears, but could find no place. In other words, the time had passed, the decision had been made, and you can't take that thing back. It's not that he didn't try. It's that it couldn't be reversed. He couldn't change it any more than that kid that popped that fella down years and years ago. You can't bring him back from the dead. You can't run the tape back. It's done now. When he says he can't find a place to repent, he said he's a profane person, a fornicator. And he comes in there and he says, and he sought repentance carefully with tears. What was wrong with him? He wasn't in his right mind, but it's as much Jacob's fault for taking advantage of somebody who wasn't in their right mind. That's why you're supposed to be your brother's keeper. That's why you're supposed to watch out for your weaker brother. In the last days that you live in, ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to see a lot of souls get saved. That's why the Apostle Paul says you better make sure everybody in the ark's getting along like they're supposed to. Had a good conversation with a preacher today along the same lines. He said, well, as it was in the days of Noah, he said, it doesn't look like they had many converts. I said, no, it won't be many converts, but you better make sure everybody's getting along on the ark.
Yeah, there you go.
You say, why? The Lord tells you that you're supposed to be living your life for the benefit of your brothers and sisters. You're supposed to live your life, make your decisions in light of what's good for the weaker brother. Find the weakest among you and make sure you make decisions that will not cause that weak brother to stumble. You never take your liberty and use it to take care of yourself. And I appreciate it's 4th of July. We put the flags up here. Brother Richard did. And they said, you know, put them up here. I'm for God. I'm for the country and that kind of a thing. But ladies and gentlemen, I mean, I could get preaching off of that. You got to go through the red, the blood to get to the white. And in order to get to the white, that means you're guaranteed you're going to get to the blue and you'll be like the stars in heaven. So I can get you the gospel out of that thing anyway. Red, white, and blue. I went through the blood, so now I'm white. That entitles me to the blue, heaven. But here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just about the earthly things. At some point in time, you have to learn to start thinking spiritually. You have to learn to start thinking in reference to the body of Christ. The old days, they used to have a little bracelet that said WWJD. That wasn't, we want Jack Daniels. That was, what would Jesus do? That means, what would Jesus do in the situation? Some of you are thinking, yeah, we do want Jack Daniels. Well, he's down on the corner down there. You can go find him there if you want to. But what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? He would live his life sacrificially for the benefit of the weakest brother among them. He would always be thinking of others before he thought of himself. It would be thinking of the Father first. He would think of them others next and think of himself last. You know how you have joy? The old preacher told you hundreds of times. If you've listened to any sermons of his at all, you've heard it at least 100 times. The way to have joy in your life is Jesus first, others second, yourself last. It's a basic concept in the Christian life. You know what happens in the last days? In the last days, yourself gets ahead of Jesus. Or others get ahead of Jesus, but Jesus gets bumped down out of his position, and then you put yourself ahead of others, and you lose your joy. It happens every time. And then you spend all this time trying to get it back. It's simple. Put Jesus first, put others ahead of you, and put yourself last. But most people don't want to do that. It's me first and you last. Dog eat dog. Whoever has the most toys when he dies wins. That ain't how it works with the Lord. The Apostle Paul here is saying that there's a problem with unity in the body of Christ. And all throughout the Pauline epistles, he deals with this particular thing where people are getting up and it's tearing up the church. That's why the Lord says 6 things does he hate, yea, 7th are an abomination to him. I'm in Proverbs chapter 6. And he says, one of those things is he that soweth discord among the brethren. Sometimes you sow discord among the brethren by just being unforgiving. By just being a snot. By just, well, I don't talk to them. I don't like them. You don't like them. Well, who are you? Somebody special? Do you think you're all that to the Lord? You're getting quiet on me right there. Now it's getting hot. You can turn the air conditioner back on. Notice in Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You would never think that your striving against each other would come between you and other people, between you and the Lord, would you? Look in Psalms 27. Psalms 27. You know what I've seen? I live in the South. You know what I've seen? I've seen people that are so mad at other people that they don't care if it hair lips the devil and the Lord himself. It don't make a bit of difference in the world to them. They're going to have their way. They're going to have their piece of flesh. And they don't care if it tears up the church and everybody else. They don't care if they hinder the Spirit. I didn't pay my deacon to say that's right. He'd been around long enough to see it. That's the epitome of selfishness. It's the epitome of you being on the throne. That's not Jesus Christ at all. Psalms chapter number 27. Good preaching. You see, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to wait on the Lord. Yeah, that's true. You're supposed to trust Him and abide Him and that kind of a deal. But ladies and gentlemen, there's some things you're waiting on the Lord and you're saying that the Lord is telling you to wait. He has already told you what to do. You're waiting because you're stubborn. He's already told you what to do. He's given you marching orders. Well, I know I should do it, but I'm waiting for the Lord. For what? A burning bush? Why don't you make it right? Well, what if I'm not right? Well, why don't you err on the side of being right? Well, I'm just not really positive about it. Okay, well, why don't you just, for one time in your life, go ahead and put yourself out there and humble yourself. That's a tough one. Look, if you will, please, in Psalm chapter number 27 about this thing called waiting, verse number 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to wait on Him? That means I'm supposed to not just slow my pace down. I'm supposed to serve Him. Are you Jesus Christ's servant tonight? You say, well, I am. Okay, well, He would be the determining factor. Would you agree you're only as good a servant as you are an order follower? Amen. All right, forgiving one another even as God forgave you for Christ's sake. I'm sorry, I thought you were His servant. Yeah, but you don't understand. I didn't write the Bible. Why does that thing keep coming up? I don't know. Maybe y'all are all clear as I can possibly be, and maybe I'm completely off a half a bubble. Or maybe I'm all over it, and maybe the fact that this thing comes up here again, that the Apostle Paul is talking about two women here in the church that can't seem to get along, and it's affecting and infecting the whole church. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I don't want to be the cause of that. The fact of the matter is that some of you, heaven's not as real to you as you claim it is. Because if you thought you were really going there, you'd get the thing fixed because you'd realize the Lord's going to hold you accountable for it. But you don't really care about that. He holds you accountable for everything you say in a negative context when it comes to the church, when it comes to the preaching, if it's done the right kind of way, when it comes to the body of Christ, when it comes to the bride of Christ. He holds you accountable for everything. But he ain't going to tell me what to do. I thought you said you're a servant.
Amen.
You need a muzzle.
Yeah.
What you're trying to do is make it your church instead of his church.
Right.
Now, that's what God said to do. He either did or he didn't. Boy, when I set the plow down the other day on women wearing, you know, not enough clothes to make a pair of breeches for a blue jay, everybody all of a sudden, well, amen, that's right, preacher, you know, they need to quit dressing that way. All right, well, then you need to forgive people and get on with your life. As much as the kids need to dress right. Well, you ain't tell my kids how to dress. I guess not, Dad, I guess not. You must like looking at your kid like that. I guess you don't mind men thinking what you think when you see a woman dressed like that. I guess you don't mind men looking at your daughters like that and your wife like that. I guess. I guess something's wrong with the men in the family, not the women. You know what men think. You're just so rebellious, you'll sacrifice them and their purity so you can maintain your maverick standing. He ain't going to tell me how to dress. I ain't telling you how to. I'm telling you what's right. I showed you in the Bible as kindly as I could. When that priest came in, he wasn't dressed like the world. He wasn't adorned outwardly like everybody out there. Somebody could tell where he was going by how he was dressed. You ever been in a hotel? You never lived until you've been in a hotel, and everybody's going to the beach, or they're going to the ballroom, or they're going, I mean, not the ball, but the pool and all that kind of stuff. And you walk down there, and you're doing a wedding, and you come down there in a tuxedo, or you come down in a suit, and everybody's looking at you like, well, he sure ain't going to the pool. You can tell he's not going to the pool by how he's dressed. You can often tell where somebody's going on Sunday morning by how they're dressed, can't you? Can't you? You standing down there, you know what you'll have a tendency to do when you're standing down there? You'll have a tendency to stand up there and you'll say to somebody next to you, what time was that wedding? Because you know you're uncomfortable. You're making them uncomfortable. You're uncomfortable. You're like, I want them to know I'm going to another place. Somebody looks at you and says, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to a wedding. Going to a wedding? A wedding. Oh, that's why you're dressed that way. Yeah, I'm dressed this way because I'm going to a wedding. You know the person's destination by how he's clothed. You should tell when somebody's going to a funeral or going to a wedding or going to a business meeting and stuff. And nowadays when they come to church, you can't tell if they're going there or the beach. It's too relaxed. You're trying to make it too casual. You say, why? So you can relax. You don't like the conviction that goes with it. Not serious enough for you. I'm in the Bible. There's trouble. You say, what's trouble? Sometimes that trouble's caused because, well, how come you let her do it? And you don't let that ain't none of your business why he lets her do it. It's what are you doing? If you tend to your own red wagon and quit worrying about everybody else, you might be a whole lot better off. But you're not willing to do that. You always got to be looking at somebody else. That's demonic. I'm the preacher. I don't mind standing up. I don't like it, but I don't mind standing up and telling them. But you don't have to tell them. They already got a preacher.
Amen.
I'm the pastor of my household. Relax, bud. I don't want to be your household. Wouldn't want your family anyway. You say, why? Well, they're already perfect. If I were to come in there, I would corrupt them because they're all so perfect. But when you come in here, you come into the body of Christ and the family of Christ. And how dare you bring that attitude in when you come? You ain't going to tell me what to do. No, but the world will tell you what to do, and you won't balk at all. You get mad at a preacher because a preacher tells you what to do. But you know what? The world tells you, and you don't ever open your mouth. You watch that slop come in your living room. You watch that trash come in there over the internet. And then you come in, the preacher said, now you ought not be doing that. Don't be telling me. Discord among the brethren. Why? I'm going to have my way. Okay, well, keep on kicking the bride and see how it works out for you. I'm supposed to give you a warning. Keep on kicking her and see what the Lord does about it. Keep on taking it lightly and joking and laughing about it and getting that attitude. I'm just out of here. I'm tired of this. I need to be encouraged. I need to be pumped up. I need to be filled up. I need to be lifted up. I'm tired of getting squashed. Well, if you're doing right, this ain't squashing. You're like, yeah, about time somebody said it. I've been wanting to. You say, you're just out of control. No, I beg to differ with you, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. I'm not out of control. You are. As you're coming in and you are trying your best to try to get people to conform to your image instead of the image of Christ. And I am not a standards kind of guy and preach haircuts and hemlines. But there is a place for it, and there is a place for you to show your respects, and it is in God's house, and this is not a playpen. That's out back. It ain't a playground. That's out back. This isn't a gymnasium. This is God's house. You say, well, it's just a building and it's just carpet. Okay, we'll come over to your house and let the kids flip and flop all over the place and bust all your stuff up. Well, now that's different. Yeah, I guess it is, isn't it? I guess if you don't own it, it don't matter to you. Well, I've been given the responsibility of overseeing it. And I have a responsibility to do it. And so you want to come in with that worldly way about you? Fine, help yourself, but don't get jacked up if when I come in I say, that ain't right.
Amen.
It's church.
Amen.
Not your idea of church. It's church. It's God's house. It deserves respect. It deserves reverence. Somebody said the other day, because I said when the guy gets up here to preach, they got to wear a tie. Somebody said in the back hallway back here, well, I wouldn't wear a tie. Well, you wouldn't preach either.
Amen.
Well, that's His rule. Hey, you better believe it's my rule.
Amen.
You say, why? Because it's right.
Amen.
The priest distinguished himself from everybody else by what he wore. And guess what? They're in there waiting to find out whether the blood's been offered. And when that priest comes out, they're listening for the sound long before they see the sight.
That's good.
So he comes out there. They hear tinkle, 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 tinkle. And the sound doesn't override the fruit. The fruit sequesters it. Ma'am, if all you are is just noise all the time and there's no fruit to balance it, men don't generally smile at noise. You want to know what your brothers and sisters think of you? See how they react when you walk in the room. Because they don't smile at noise. Happy 4th of July, time for some stinking fireworks around here. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand that Bible's written a certain way for a certain reason, and there's got to be a balance of those kind of things, and you just always having your way is not a biblical way of doing things. It's wrong. It's inappropriate. It puts pressure on the weaker of the girls to try to dress like the older girls. You're the devil. You're Jezebel. You're trying to get them to conform to your image, trying to stretch it out just a little bit. I'm telling you, and I'm going to tell you again, and your youth pastor sitting here, and he knows that this is how it is. If you don't want your kids, I am not going to fight the entire time with, well, I can wear this and I can't wear that. You know what's appropriate to wear, and if you ain't going to wear it, don't bother to come, because I will send you back to the changed clothes. I'm not going to spend time being a hall monitor. But I'm not going to be so gracious as to let you come in and turn that thing into your high school class. Well, I get to wear this to school. Well, you ain't at school. You're at church camp.
Amen.
The camp has now grown and it's gotten a little bit bigger and it's gotten a little older. And now some of the girls are starting to kind of, you know, kind of touch the We're going to back that thing way up.
Amen.
Have you running around in stinking sweatpants before long.
Amen.
Well, then I ain't sending my kid over there. Why? You want their legs to be shown? Is that what it is? What is that about you? You want your daughter in a tank top. What is that? What is that, sir? You want your boy in a tank top? Tell him to wear a t-shirt. Well, he wears a tank top at home. Good, he's at home. He's going to church camp. We have enough trouble with it is. I never thought I'd see the day that after we get rid of electronics and stuff and fight the battle of the stinking wreck of the Hespers over that thing forever and finally get that pretty much under control, and now all of a sudden here comes a resurgence of dressing.
Right.
and a counselor coming in and saying, okay, knock it off, you can't wear that. Well, hi, I mean, so-and-so says it's okay, and they get to wear so-and-so. I'm going to put a sock in your mouth and tape your head with duct tape. Who gave you a right to speak? You are at church camp. If you don't want to come, don't come. That's the rule. They go to soccer camp or football camp or basketball camp or baseball camp or golf camp or whatever, and they tell them, this is what you do and this is what you wear, and you don't open your mouth. You let a preacher say, if you're coming to church camp, this is what you wear and this is what you do. You ain't telling my kid what to do. Keep them at home. The only reason you're sending some of them is because you're tired of dealing with them all week. So you're like, we'll palm them off, but, you know, I expect them to call me every night. Keep them home. You deal with them. We're not here to straighten out your trouble. We're there to preach Jesus and try to get them closer to the Lord. I'm not there to browbeat the tar out of them and spend all the time straightening them out because you won't. You say, why? I've been doing it long enough to know this. I know that if I do that, they're going to come home. You're going to unravel it anyway. You're going to undermine it. Well, Brother Sam, you know, he's young. And Brother Woodard and Brother Josh, you know, they don't know. They're just young. No, this was the preacher. Well, he's old, you know, and he can't help it. He's still stuck in the mud. He's old school. Mom, I don't want my phone anymore. You ain't going to church over there no more. I don't want the internet. I don't want Facebook, some of them said last year, came back. I don't want social media anymore. I bet you've already picked it back up again. I bet you some of you that got under conviction about it and gave it up, I bet you've tuned it back up again. You say, why? Well, Mama's got it. Why shouldn't you have it? Don't you realize that there are certain things? I know. I've been praying. I've been looking. I've been searching. Lord, why is it that people are gossiping? He said they ain't got nothing to do. Their life means absolutely nothing. The reason they spend all their time on social media and in everybody else's business is that their life is a big fat zero. They have too much time on their hands, so they're in everybody else's business promoting themselves all the time because they don't have anything in their own life. And you propagate that with kids. Spend all their time. And then the kids that aren't on social media, then, you know, the other kids ostracize them and don't want anything to do with them. Good, you're better off without them. Amen. I don't care who they are. I don't care how popular they are. I'm talking about division in the church, by the way, if you forgot where I was getting my text from. You sound like a North Carolina preacher, just taking a berth, taking a fit. No, it's just time for a good spiritual ex-lax. Wednesday night's not a better time for you to have it. Amen. You say, why? I mean, take a spoonful of sugar, it makes the medicine go down a little better. You just let it go and let it go and let it go, and before long, you know what you start doing? You start just accepting stuff, and well, it's not that big of a deal. And then when the bridle gets snatched a little bit, it's like, well, you know, that's a little too harsh. Boy, there was a day around here I couldn't be harsh enough, but aren't you sophisticated now? You don't need that kind of preaching anymore, do you? Because you above all that now. I ain't talking about the Catholics and the Charismatics and the Episcopalians. The Episcopalians. We're going to now make something that's appealing to the people. Article sent to me today. We're going to make our prayer book now gender neutral. Gender neutral, so we don't offend. Because if we put man and God in the same thing, man will think he's a god and he thinks he's better than a woman. So we're going to make it non-specific, gender neutral. You're messing with the Trinity. You're messing with the Trinity. You ought to know enough verses to know where God shows up as man, or Jesus shows up as man, Holy Spirit shows up as man. You ought to know enough verses right off the top of your head like that to realize, yeah, God's a male. Gender neutral. You know where that comes from? That comes from a preacher standing in a pulpit and letting it go and letting it go. And now if he says anything, he offends half the congregation because they've come in now and now they're the ones given and they're the ones that got them stretched out over a building program and they got to take care of this and take care of that. And if he says anything other than what they want to hear, then they pull out and the whole thing goes kaput and there goes his salary. I know what I'm talking about. I ain't wearing that bridle. Amen. We'll show you. Okay, good. My check don't come from you. It comes from him. Amen. And I appreciate you and appreciate what you do and all that other kind of stuff. But ladies and gentlemen, you have to realize I have a responsibility to him before I do you. Amen. It's him first. It's you next. Amen. You don't ever trump him. Amen. She don't either. Amen. It's him first. Right. So, well, you know, you guys have to learn balance. You go ahead. Help yourself. Strap it on, big boy.
Amen.
You know so much about it? I wish to God you'd go out and start one. We could use another Bible-believing work. You know enough Bible to go do it. Help yourself. Go get it. Piece of cake. Make sure everybody in the congregation is just like you. That thing is so distasteful to the Lord that of the seven things that are an abomination to Him, one of those things is he that sows discord among the brethren. And I'm telling you, based on Pauline epistles, you can sow that discord by setting a bad example for other people to follow.
Amen.
It's not always doctrinal.
Amen.
And sometimes you find out who your friends are and you find them out pretty quick when you realize that if you stand for what the Lord says, they'll cut your throat and watch you bleed. I love you, but... gotta go. Don't like your choices. Don't like what you're doing. Don't like how you're doing it. No, what you're saying is, if I do it your way, you'll stay. And if I don't, you're going.
Amen.
You can take that gun off me. I'm not a hostage.
Amen.
Now, the question you have to ask yourself is there anything in my life I'm doing that's causing discord in the body of Christ? And if so, why don't you get right over it? I want to try to show you this thing if I can, please. Look in Romans chapter 16. Can you give me a couple more minutes? Preacher, you know, we're all here on Wednesday night. We're the good ones. Why are you getting on to us? Well, if you're the good ones, ladies and gentlemen, then you're the ones that ought to set the standard. You're the ones that when all that other stuff starts happening, you know what you ought to do? Well, listen. Them other kids might do that, but you ain't doing it.
Amen.
If this was a men's meeting, of course it's not, but if it was, I'd say, well, where are the men? You been gelded?
No. That's right,
amen. Well, then why don't you do what the Lord commands you to do, and when somebody else is doing wrong, say, hey, young'un, that ain't your business. This is our house, and this is what we do in our house, and I don't care what they do, and that's not justification for you doing it. You ain't dressing like that.
Amen.
And ma'am, if you give him chin music over it, then God help you.
Right.
I wouldn't go so far as to say you're prostituting your daughters, but you're sure letting them be looked at like a piece of meat.
Sure.
Thank you. Yes, you are.
Amen.
That's why all that internet stuff is so big right now, because guys are driven by pictures, by images.
Right.
Oh, nobody look at my little daughter. Your little daughters ain't little daughters no more. They're grown women. I'm not looking for you to run around in a burlap sack, but there should be something to modest apparel. And there should be something to respect for where you're going. You wouldn't meet your boss in half of the stuff that gets worn around here. But preacher, you know, I just didn't really think it's that big of a deal. If you're lost, God help you. We'll do our best to help you. But if you're saved, you ought to know better. At some point in time, there ought to be a change.
Amen.
You want to help me? Stop doing it so I can move on to something else.
Right.
Really, that would help me. Do you realize how I feel right now? Do you have any concept of what this is like to have this junk going out over that thing? Do you have any idea at all how I lift y'all up, how I praise you, how I talk about you, how wonderful you are? Do you have any idea how bad it is to say we got hemorrhoids too? We got fleas too. You know how hard it is to look in the mirror and realize I might have been a little too relaxed on certain things and it's kind of getting away from us a little bit. Losing respect for being up here when you're singing and things like that and starting to joke and play around up in here. One thing I admire about other religions, in spite of their doctrine being wrong, they sure have a whole lot more respect for the holy things of God than we do. We've taken our liberty and started treating things like Belshazzar did when Daniel came in over there, and then Belshazzar comes in there and said, bring all them things in here and let's just use them for what we want to. Because we know that those things are not, you know, spiritual, they're not holy. Yeah, but you know what, I think it wouldn't be bad to maybe treat them like they are such. I don't think it's wrong for your kids to say, that's church, you don't mess around like that.
Amen.
We don't do that in church. We don't talk like that in church. We don't jump around like that in church. But, well, it's just a building. I know that. I'm very well aware of that. Do you realize we've had weddings here? Do you realize we've had funerals here? You realize we have church services here? This ain't a regular building. This isn't a business building. You don't even do that in your schoolrooms. You're not allowed to run around and act like an idiot in your schoolrooms. Let me ask you this. When you go to work tomorrow in your cubicle or whatever, you go to work tomorrow in your office, you run around there and go tear their offices up, run down the hall there. You're still at 501, I guess. Run up and down the hall in 501 and knock over the flags and knock over all the stuff like that. See how long that goes for you. Chief or no chief. You have greater respect for the building than that. But you wouldn't dare rein your kids in, but you'd certainly put one of the women or one of the men in here in a position to say, hey, get your cotton-picking hands off the sound equipment up there. What are you doing up there? You have no business being up there. That's thousands of dollars worth of sound equipment. Next thing you know, it's unplugged and it's offline and then all these other kind of things. And you say, why? You're a stinking brat. While you're talking some major, big, huge deal you got to be working out or some gossip about somebody and not paying attention to where your kids are.
Amen.
Good preaching.
Amen.
Well, you sound like you're getting on to us.
Yeah.
Okay. How about a little reverence?
Amen.
How about a little respect?
Amen.
How about, hey, this is God's house.
Amen.
I know this. I know that if a stinking bum walked in here right now and started urinating down the floor or started taking out a can of paint and tagging the walls and stuff, you fellows would be in here and have him snatch out of here so fast it'd make your head swim. But if your kid knocks the cotton picking paint off the side of the pews or tears up the sound equipment or busts one of these $1 million microphones up here or scratches the piano, you wouldn't say nothing to them. A prostitute walk down here and get every man's attention in here, man, you'd be saying, preacher, you need to get her out of here. Well, you think nothing of your daughter's dressing that way. Well, that's different. Oh, is it? It's different, is it? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to say I'm based on a biblical thing that even though we don't use a building as the church house, it is where we meet as a church house. And if we don't maintain and keep what God gave us to maintain and keep, you can forget having anything else. The Lord's like, y'all don't even take care of what I gave you. We've managed to do pretty good now in this building right here. It still looks to me like it's in pretty good shape after about 15 years in this building. But that takes a lot of work. Fine, if you don't want my kids there. Oh, are you serious? You just went there? Well, if it's going to be all about a dress code, then we'll just go somewhere else. Really? Really? You going to take your doll baby and go home? Get your baby bottle and your binky too. Then you send them over to camp and you're like, hey, you know, I don't know what the problem is with that kid. I do. He has a mom and dad and a grandmom and a granddaddy who let them do whatever they want to do and then get mad at the preacher when he says enough is enough. I'm tired of seeing my folks here put in a position to straighten out kids. I guess I got to step up and do something. You say, why? It's hard for them. It's embarrassing. But it causes discord. Can't you tell? Well, preacher, you know, we got to learn to love each other. Yeah, we do. We do need to learn to love each other. But not at the expense of what you've been given to take care of. You don't know how long you're going to have it. If you don't maintain it, the Lord will let it filter and fall.
Amen.
A lot of people have sweated a lot and given a lot and worked hard to do it and to maintain it. Now your job is to keep it. You say, why? You seen how many kids are around here? What have I got? Maybe 10 years left? If that 10 years, if the Lord don't come, will be gone like that. I'll be saying, my goodness, man, that preacher really getting old now. He's 72, 75 years of age, man. He needs to go. He's in the sunset of life. And what are all these kids that are around here going to do if you just let it go? You don't even let your own houses go. But that's just the church. There used to be a day and time when I would say, pray for me and I'll preach like no other preacher. And don't pray for me and I'll preach like no other preacher. And I wonder sometimes if people are still praying because all of a sudden it's when the preaching comes out along these lines, I can tell real quick, well, I prayed, but I sure didn't expect that. And I care about you. But ladies and gentlemen, I honestly feel a huge responsibility to protect this place for the people that want to keep it this way. And quite frankly, if that's not what you want to do or that's not what you're looking for as a pastor, then call for a vote and vote me out. Because if I'm going to be here, I'm going to take it serious.
Amen.
I'm not going to play with it. I'm not going to fight with you over it. I'm not going to argue with you about it. I'm going to preach it, and then you're going to do it or you ain't going to do it. But I'm going to preach it. I'm not going to be guilty of not giving you the opportunity to do what's right.
Amen.
You have people from all over the country that tune in and watch you. So whether you like it or not, there's people watching. How you act, how you're dressed, and what you do when you're on this platform or anywhere else. And attire matters. How you're dressed matters. You can tell a military man by what he wears. He has on a uniform. The policeman, he has on a uniform. There's a certain dress. Well, a Christian ought to have a certain way about him. A little too casual. A little too relaxed. A little too comfortable. Just, you know, next thing you know, it'll be shorts and flip-flops. Well, preacher, you know, you ought to just be glad we're here. Well, I'm not so sure. You say, why? It creates conflict. Don't affect me. I ain't wearing shorts and flip-flops. Not in here. I'll wear them around the house. That's something you wish you didn't have to even imagine. You say, why? I don't even wear that around my own grandkids. Now, you do. That's fine. That's your business. Your legs obviously don't look like mine. But the bottom line is that I don't do that. You say, why? I don't cross that line. I don't want to get that familiar. Now see, I'm way out there. But you might consider I might have just a little more experience in certain things than you do. And I might know something about some things you don't. And whether you realize it or not, ma'am and sir, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, pawpaw, nana, meemaw, mamaw, whatever you are, the new names for everybody now, they got all kind of new ones now. Because, you know, anyway, I'm trying to look out for your kids.
Amen.
I want your kids to have a clean place to come to.
Amen.
And I want them to understand certain principles. And then when they go to camp, you can be safe that they're going to be told the right thing and they're going to do the right thing. And they'll be like, no, honey, you ought to know. If you're going to go there, you ain't going to be wearing no shorty shorts over there in a tube top.
Amen.
They'll snatch a knot in your tail. And I'm talking about the female counselors. Mom, they won't let me wear my bikini out in the swimming pool. You got a bikini? What you doing at camp, let alone anywhere, wearing that? Are you smoking crack? What is wrong with you? Put that counselor on the phone. Can I give you permission to spank them? No, we don't do that here. I'm trying to make it where what a lot of you grew up around is still left for the kids around here. You can still do it, but you have to hold the line.
Amen.
You say you're going to run people off. Okay. What you just said when you said that is that you're more interested in pleasing people than you are in pleasing God.
Amen.
I know the balance. I know where the line's drawn. I haven't said this kind of stuff to you in too long, apparently. And so now I do, and you're like, well, good. Well, I'm sorry. I hope it's not your last Sunday or last Wednesday, but if it is, we're going to do the best we can. I hope hope y'all can make it without me. Well, I hope we can. But if God don't breathe on it, I look at these little babies around here, and I wonder if we keep going the way we're going. I mean the little ones. The nursery and first, you know, Bonnie and Marina's and first couple of classes over there. I wonder if we keep going the way we're going, what'll be left when they're in his class? It won't even take 5 years. This place will be a cesspool of lascivious flesh. And the next thing you know, you'll have people in the congregation running around with each other and talking about each other and doing things. You say, why? Because it starts down there real subtle. Before long, the barriers get broke down. It just allow me a second or two here while I'm on it. I don't hug you, not because I don't care about you, but hugs are for my wife. And I hug the preachers because I know them and some of my friends because I know them and that kind of a thing. But I don't hug your wife, sir. You say, why? That's your wife. And they're dear to me. Some of them are close to me. We've been through some stuff. But we don't practice that here.
Amen.
And kissing and all that kind of junk. That's for family.
Amen.
Well, the Bible says greet each other with, one another with a holy kiss. Okay, if it's holy, help yourself. But the only reason you're doing it is hiding behind something spiritual to get a chance to put your lips on something that don't belong to you. And if you let an old man or an old woman kiss you, it's on you. Tell them no thank you. Put your duck lips back where they came from. I'll cut them off. It ain't right. It breeds familiarity. It's too close. It's too close. Yes, I've known him 18, 19, 20 years now or so. Jennifer's my kin to me. That's my nephew back there. I every now and then I'll hug her from the side because I see her at family functions and things like that. You don't see it around the church. You say, what? People don't know who she is. What's he doing hugging them young girls? 18 years old or 20, however old she is. Well, I've been with some of you when your kids have gone. Don't tell me we don't have history. Well, I'm careful about it. You say, why? Other people watching. Oh, well, what's up with that? I've known that little one back there in the very back, Tara, since she was over there out west and then down in Bible school and stuff when they were getting ready to get hitched up and spent time with them on the phone and all that kind of a deal like that. And I care very deeply for both of them. I'll hug him before I hug her. You say, why? She'll hit me. Not really, but do you understand? It's too familiar. I'm not trying to make you stiff and starchy, ladies and gentlemen. I'm saying that you got to reconsider the line. You have to realize that sometimes you wanting your rights and trying to be too casual is the same thing going on between Euodias and Syntyche. It doesn't say specifically. Your King James Bible leaves out what the discord, what the problem was. He says you need to come together in unity. Well, the Bible is our unity, and it's the one that sets the standard, and this is just how we do it around here. And if you want to do it otherwise, it causes discord. And the Lord uses that and says, hey, I wish the two of you guys would get together. And then Paul goes on to say, and the rest of you, help these other women that have helped me. Not just help them do the work. And I'll deal with this on Sunday, not because they're deaconesses or whatever. Now, only five times that word is used, even a Greek word is used there. And those times are all within the church and have nothing to do with a servant or somebody that is supposed to be serving someone else. Has nothing to do with it at all. But what he's saying there is help them to learn to get along. You say, why? Look, if I wear a certain tie, Brother Larry's not up there going, I wonder where he got that tie at. Because wherever he got it at, I don't want to go there. Brother Larry's not worried about where I got my tie or what kind of shoes I got on. But you women. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, look at that prancing poodle. Got a new so-and-so. Wearing a such-and-such. Yes, you do. You have to watch it. You say, why? Before long, you'll be leading a little troop of these little ducklings around. And a lot of these little ducklings are not ready to wear what some of you older ones wear anyway. They're ducklings. And they're imprinting on you. You better print them the right way. The holy women, the elder women, are supposed to teach the young women about modesty and how to love their own husbands. I listen to some of you women. Some of the things you say to these young girls about your husbands, you ought to be shot. You say, why? You got no business talking to some unmarried kid like that about your husband. I'm a big advocate. If you got a problem, come take it to somebody to help you or whatever. But don't be telling other people about it. You say, why? After you get it all fixed, they still wonder every time they look at him. Yep. Well, you know what? I know what he did.
Sure,
yep. Sure they do. None of their business. You better thank God my wife doesn't tell you everything there is to tell me about. There's a lot worse goes on in my house besides me wearing a pair of cargo shorts. It'd ruin your idea of up here. I'm just a regular old common man. Well, I am a regular old common man, but when I'm in the pulpit with a Bible under my arm, I'm speaking for somebody. And right now, I'm telling you, it's not a personal pet peeve I'm giving you. It is something that the Lord has laid on my heart, and I'm under conviction about it because I've I've been trying to be kind and sweet and gracious with you and teach you the Bible and stuff, but you're letting some of the foundational things slip. And it's time to get them back.
Amen.
Time to realize I need to make some changes. And if not, we're going to love you, brat, and pray for you. But at least now you've heard it. All right, we'll stand together and be dismissed. I appreciate you understanding. You can't look, you're not going to be able to find that one on sermon audio. I should have probably turned off that box thing up there. Now, if you didn't need that or you're visiting with us, apologize we hung out some of our dirty laundry tonight. We're dogs just like everybody else, and every now and then the Lord has to deal with us too. But I'm real burdened about these kids. And I guess the reason it's on my mind is that I have camp next week, and I'll be gone about 12 messages there, and then a week off, and Brother Sam will be the week I'm off. He'll be in a meeting up in Detroit. He took a meeting up there with young people there. And then the following week, young people again, our young people down at camp. So young people are on my mind, and I got to thinking about Heritage and what we're leaving them. And what we're leaving them is kind of a watered-down, sort of a compromising, quit worrying about the outward appearance kind of an attitude, as if they're not connected. They are connected.
Amen.
You can't be spiritual by what you do on the outside, but you can't be a Christian without some discipline in your life.
Amen.
You have people that trust you with their kids after they've spent all that time, effort, and money and labor and pain and 9 months carrying that youngin' around, and then they bring them here, and I don't want to be accountable for messing them up. I want to try to help them. I'd rather err on the side of, yeah, the preacher ain't going to go for that. That's a statement he's learned. That's a statement she's learned. That's a statement you ought to learn. Somebody come to you and say, well, I was thinking about, you know, playing some canned music. We're going to sing so-and-so and so forth. And y'all just laugh and say, oh, I can tell you right now, you're not even bothered to talk to the preacher. He ain't going to go for that.
Right.
What do you think about this, Brother Sam? You think we can get this one by the preacher? You just as well go bark up another tree. You know what he's going to say? And I'm not comfortable being here if you think we're trying to get something by him.
Amen.
You say, what's he going to do? He'll pimp you out. Preacher, I just wanted to let you know so-and-so came to me and they asked me to do such and such and they were trying to kind of keep it under the rug, and I just want you to know I ain't going to be no aching, and I'm just telling you about it. Do with it whatever you want to do with it, but I am not involved in it.
Amen.
It's happened more than once. You come to one of these deacons or one of these trustees or the majority of men around here, they can't even get to what they ask me about it. It's like, no, you didn't even bother about that.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I'd talk to that. You don't even need to bother. Swallowing goldfish? No, uh-uh. Dancing with? Uh-uh. No. Parachutist? No. You just, well, go run along, sonny. Please don't bring that up to him. We'll hear a message on it for 3 weeks. You'll think there's a conspiracy among the brethren. Now, if you're upset with me, then pray about it tonight, okay, before you talk about it. And if you're behind me, then let somebody know, yeah, I didn't like it, but he's right. And empathize with me that I'm in the position where I'm responsible, I'm accountable to do something about it. And that's what I'm trying to do.